You are listening to Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show. For the latest episode of Schmimcast, please visit schmimcast.com to email us with your questions, comments, and requests. Please shoot an email to schmimcast@aol.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at @SchmimCast. That's twitter.com/SchmimCast. And of course, you can always come see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming shows, please visit improvschmimprov.com.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, birdies and squirrels, this is Schmimcast. Hooray!
Woo-hoo!
Super! We've got another fantastic episode for you, ladies and gentlemen. A powerhouse of improv, Schmimprov, ladies and gentlemen. She is a magnificent performer, improver. She sings, she dances, she's a monkey.
All true.
She's married, but she's a wonderful person.
Aww.
She's usually nice to everybody, like most of the time. She is very funny. She's very kind, gracious, lovely. She gives away thousands of dollars every year to people who need it. And she's always happy. And she's a raging alcoholic. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Schmimcast, Amber Robbins.
Hooray! I feel like I have to bully you into saying all those things.
Oh, shit.
What? Say something nice about me, Nikki. Gosh.
You didn't.
I know, I
didn't. And you're being so nice because we're doing this a second time. I fucked up.
That's okay.
But now we're just so much more excited about
Well, we are. We are. The second time is the charm.
It is. Definitely. So we also have a special co-host. She is running sound. She is producing. She is going to laugh like a dolphin.
I'm not the dolphin. Nate's thing.
Oh,
I'm
Nate's
not
a
the
dolphin.
Dolphin.
I know you're not the dolphin.
He's talking about someone else.
I know who it is. Okay, I ain't gonna say Shrek. But you're like the monkey, right? Or what is it that Sean called you?
He called me a monkey.
He called you a monkey.
Like, Rochelle.
I told you you're gonna be This may not have been a good idea, but but no, this is very fun. I'm very happy that you agreed to be my co-host on Schmimcast.
And
to come, she's gonna be the soundboard operator, and eventually she's gonna take over and run the whole damn thing.
I feel so special that I get to be here the first night of co-host sound producer Rochelle.
I feel special too.
Like, I feel like this is all professional and
look at this. Like, we've got headphones.
Yeah.
Microphones.
We're in an actual studio.
We've got pop filters.
Yeah. Which is good because I have a horrible head cold today, so you won't hear me sneezing you may hear me sneezing, but
Rose's gonna cut it all out.
Yeah.
She's got the highs, the lows, and the mids, and you're not gonna sound like you have a cold. You're gonna sound like you're Mighty Mouse.
I'm gonna No, I want to sound super sexy.
Oh, no problem. We're just going to bring up the bass.
Yeah.
See if that works.
This is Amber Robbins.
Whoa.
No, that sounds horrible. Don't play that.
Wait. Say something sexy, Amber.
Hi, I'm Amber.
Impressive.
That was Amber's sexy voice. Oh, God. Okay. That's enough of that.
Gabe's getting a blowy after the show.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
My poor husband.
No, he's a lucky man. He's married to you.
That's right, he is. And don't you forget it.
Damn straight. We're going to go through, again, what we talked about just a half hour ago. Because I'm such a great podcaster.
But it is. It's also fascinating and interesting.
It is good shit. It
yeah.
Good stuff.
Anyone gives me a test on Amber, I'll ace it. I'll be so good.
You're going to graduate with a BA in Amber.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
She give those out.
Schmimcast.
So, tell me how you started an improv schmimprov.
Well,
I clearly don't remember the story. Because I was,
You were high. Just admit it. high. No, Nikki wasn't high. He hasn't done that in years.
Never.
Right? No, I began Ishman Prof. Nate McCarrick and I met in the Imagination Machine.
And that's like a touring company, right?
It's an improv group that we perform stories written by school children. We take stories that, say, a second grader writes a story, and then we'll turn it into a short play and perform it for the whole school. And we do about 8 to 10 of them. And it's an assembly. And it's really a fun show. Anyway, in 2005, Nate joined our group. And we started performing together. And then we did a dinner theater with Dave Herblin for like 10 seconds.
Big Dave Herblin.
Yeah.
I've never called him that before.
I know. Like, well, and he's not a big guy. So that's why he's like 5'7". He's really small. And
she nods her head like, yeah, it's really small.
So gross. Oh, Jesus.
We're just kidding, Dave. Dave's definitely not listening.
He was definitely not listening to this. And so I guess they were just beginning Improv at the new Maverick Theater.
In downtown Fullerton.
That's right. Nate asked me to audition, and I came in, and it was really intimidating because he had like 5 or 6 of you guys there.
Really? And yeah. I was there, maybe.
I think you were there. I feel like you were there. I feel like it was you and Eric and Jamie and Patrick.
Were we all standing behind Eric?
No.
We couldn't see.
Because then maybe that's why. Maybe you were just in Eric's shadow and couldn't see anything. But it was real. I remember it being really intimidating. But I remember being
so dark.
I can't see anything because I'm behind Eric. Yeah, so I auditioned and I had a fun time. It was a good audition, I guess. I got in. So
well, it must
I guess it was. But as I was leaving, because I was walking out the front to my car after it was all done, and Nate was like, "They all really liked you. Can you play this Friday?" And I remember thinking, like, "Oh, did they just not have enough people to play this week? And is that why you're asking me to be in the show?" But it was still fun. It was good. And yeah, so I joined and I felt all a part of the team. And I was the first girl, I think, that you guys had in a long time, because Lindsay Hendrickson had stopped playing by that point on a regular basis.
Yeah, Lindsay had stopped playing. Now, I know we had Nishita.
Yeah. We miss you, Nishita, wherever you are.
Was she at the holiday party?
No, she was supposed to show up, but she no-showed.
God damn it.
I know, she could be dead in an alley for all we know.
Why weren't you at the holiday party?
Oh, shit, I just got, like...
You got called out by Rochelle.
Called out. You are the new co-host. You have to be so mean to me,
Nikki,
right now.
I made homemade enchiladas.
They were delicious.
Oh, damn it. I would have liked that.
When you were describing Amber, I was going to say, she makes great enchiladas.
That's right, I do. Those were damn good enchiladas.
I ate so many of them.
So good.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How many did Jamie eat?
More than me.
Because Jamie eats everything in large quantities.
I believe that. So I'm sorry I didn't make your party. I'm trying to remember. I think I was, you know, I don't have a really good excuse, so.
Wait, you texted me and said you can come.
Well, I couldn't. I had an audition to go to.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's a good excuse.
Okay.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
I'm not upset with you.
I'm an asshole.
I'm sorry.
I'm such an asshole.
It's okay. You just missed a really good party and really good enchiladas. So don't feel bad. I'm not making you feel bad. You're making yourself feel bad.
Yeah, I am. I don't feel bad anymore.
Okay, good. Moving on.
I am Nate. I have no shame.
Yeah,
better cut that
out. Leave it in.
Back to you joining Schminkfrost.
Yeah, so I joined in, and I guess the rest was history. I remember... At that time, we were still rehearsing at your and Nate's old place. That was that old storefront that had been converted into a house.
Oh my, what?
That, like, convenience store storefront. Do you remember that? It was, like, on...
there?
Yeah! Do you remember? It was on, what street was it on? It was on Wilson!
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where you guys were first rehearsing.
The cockroach apartment?
Yeah! Jeez. Totally. Like, I went to the bathroom there one time, and then from that moment on, had to remind myself to go to the bathroom before I went to improv rehearsal.
That was the fucking horrible. Like, I mean, it was so bad. Cockroaches all the time, and like I started setting traps.
Yeah,
like, traps
cockroach traps.
Oh no, you do. You had to like they're like little cockroach houses, and they go in and they poison, and then they take the poison back to their nest.
So fucking gross.
It was really gross, and, but no, it was a cool place though.
No, it wasn't. When you like roll over in bed and you like take your sheets off and you see a dead cockroach.
No. La la la.
That's when you go like...
Nikki, this creeps me out even more than sex does. Don't talk about it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Well, I did it. I managed to make Amber feel really uncomfortable.
God. About cockroaches, I'm not sorry. About anything sexual, thank God.
So if any Schmimprovers are listening...
Cockroaches.
We need to make sure every scene with Amber has a cockroach.
So gross.
Sex with cockroaches?
What's that?
Sex with cockroaches?
No! Rochelle, stop it! Oh my God!
I just threw up.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess. Yeah, so I remember that apartment, and I remember the last...
Let's talk more about that apartment.
Rehearsal at... I remember the last rehearsal at that apartment was the day that Nate got Sahara, the dog, his dog Sahara. Nate has a husky named Sahara, and she...
Is adorable.
Is adorable, and she's also a crazy, crazy dog. She, like, is a Mexican jumping bean.
Yep. She attacks you. Like, not really.
With love. With love.
In a very loving way.
Yeah. And I remember we tried to rehearse with her one time in that apartment. Oh, my God. And that was, like, the last... Because you guys were moving into your new place. And so it was just, like last-ditch effort for Schmimprov rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's going to live with this dog.
Him and his girlfriend at the time, they got, like, two dogs. One really small one.
Yeah, little Roxy.
Literally at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at the same exact time.
Yeah.
And then so, like, you guys moved into a house, and then you guys also moved in with two dogs.
Yep.
It was like you guys, your family doubled in 24 hours. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, dogs but then were cute. I mean, they were cute. They were cute. And Sahara's a really good dog, but she's crazy.
I love dogs.
You love dogs almost as much as Nate does.
Yeah. I don't love them enough to... Why?
Get a dog, Chuck.
I can't get a dog, goddammit.
Dude, you see the size of this place?
Okay, they said that you can't have animals here.
Yeah, I believe that.
I know for sure there's a guy, like, a couple of doors down that has, like, two cats.
That's right.
Every time I walk to go
expose
to work in the morning.
Expose them!
God damn it! There are animals here!
Schmimcast.
All right, so back to Amber. Are you crying?
No, I'm just cleaning my glasses. I wear glasses now, so I have to clean them every once in a while. I'm getting old. Mickey.
I'm getting really old. I'm the oldest Schmimprover.
You are, but we're all still aging at the same rate, so.
Did you just call me Grandpa Schmimprover?
Grandpa Schmimprover.
Father Time Schmimprover.
Oh.
It's Grandpa Nicky. Grandpa Nicky, what are you going to give me for Christmas?
Diapers.
Thanks, Grandpa Nicky.
Well, you know what? I think this would be a good time to ask some questions, because I have a question that goes right into what you were talking about earlier. All right, so this question comes from Danielle, and it is, Amber, what do you think is the most difficult part of being a female comedian in a male-dominated profession? And, or why does she prefer, you prefer, to keep your comedy clean? Are you scared of offending someone, or are you just trying to maintain personal moral cleanliness?
That is such a good question, Danielle.
Isn't it amazing?
I feel like she really put a lot of effort into that question.
Right, right.
So impressive.
You gotta ask this one first.
No, absolutely.
That's a real question.
And I applaud her for asking that question. Because I think that people really do wonder about female comedians, and it is hard. It's very hard, but still very fun. I think that anytime somebody in the audience sees that there's a female in a show, even if it's not Schmimprov, any show, any comedy show whatsoever, I think they instantly think, oh, let's see if she's funny. Where I think if men are up on stage, they're like, oh, this is fun. They don't even think. But I feel like girls have to try so much harder to make an impact on somebody. I feel like we're being judged more. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that very early on, and I really kind of didn't care. Like, I really was like, I don't consider myself a joke person. I consider myself a setup, scene-based comedian. And that always isn't funny. I consider myself a straight man. I'm good at setting up jokes for other people. And I know I'm funny when I want to be, or I'm funny when I don't try, actually. When I don't want to be is when I'm funny.
And being a straight man, you like women.
Yeah, yes. Being a straight man, I like women.
I couldn't help saying that.
No, I like my Gabriel. I think it took a lot of pressure off me once I decided that I wasn't going to try to be funny. I was just going to try and do good improv and make scenes make sense.
And support your fellow
And support
improvers.
My fellow improvers. And, like, you know, my favorite rule of improv is make your partner look good. Right. And And I think if I'm doing that, then I'm at least being productive on stage and doing good improv. And sure, we all make mistakes and we all mess up and we all get in our heads that I've got something funny that I want to do. But for the most part, I really do try to put out a good scene.
Right,
and
right.
I think that once the audience realizes that that's what I'm doing, they don't label me.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, she's just that way. And so I think that that's what I strive for. And it's also why I like comedy. I like the story element of comedy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of jokes. I'm not a big fan of stand-ups who just tell jokes.
And so in that sense, do you think that's more why when it goes vulgar or your partner goes really sexual or gross,
yeah,
that kind of turns you off because it's just like, why are you going
right? Well, like, and I used to be that way. Like, I used to like, oh, I'm above this. I don't need to go there. Like, I really did. I was like, oh, I'm so much better than you. But but now that I'm not a bitch anymore, I really try to like have fun with it, and then have fun with the fact that it makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
Like,
I think the audience like gets,
yeah, like
they're like, oh, you know, Amber's uncomfortable.
Oh, there she goes again.
Well, how's she gonna get out of this pickle?
Yeah, and so I think that now I enjoy it. I let it happen. I still try and make a good scene, but now I also, you know, like, oh, okay, let's go down this road and see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yay, gay sex. That's what happens every time.
Gay sex.
I do embrace gay sex. No, jeez.
Homosexuals is okay in my book.
Yeah, but I do. I think a little bit of it does stem from my moral upbringing. I think younger, I was like, I don't want to do that on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm better than this. Like, I don't need to do sex jokes to be funny. I want to be a good girl. I don't want to show everybody that you could still be funny. But I don't feel that way now. Like, I feel like that is just a character that is easy for me to embrace, and
yeah,
and I enjoy it, and I enjoy playing that character. And yeah, I do try to steer away from sex jokes and, you know, inappropriate language and stuff, but at the same time, like, I don't care if somebody else says it, you know, it doesn't bother me.
Right.
It's fun.
You have a question, Shrek?
I have a question, but it's kind of back
in the day.
Back in
did the
day.
Lights just flicker
a little bit, but that's okay.
Shit,
well,
that
I was gonna
scary.
Ask you, Amber.
It's my poltergeist. Don't be worried. Everything's going to be fine.
We're going to die.
Oh, god damn. My guitar's going to stop floating in the air.
Oh, no. Okay, Amber, I was going to ask you, but it's a little bit off topic now.
Your words.
Because you said that, like, you think that audiences automatically
judge you more.
Judge girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you judge girls? Because I do.
I judge girls
so much harder than I do.
That is why I know that for a fact, that audience members think that, because I think it.
Yeah.
I think if there's a girl on stage, oh, let's see if she's funny. Let's see if she's just there for their affirmative action. And that, it's so awful to say, but it's so true.
It's,
like,
I agree. And I think it's because, this is from a male perspective.
Yeah.
But I think there is, like, I've always heard, like, guys say it's like, well, you know, it's very rare that a female is actually funny. Like, I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's really, it's just unusual.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's, I mean, you don't see so many female improvers as males. It's like,
they don't. You know, yeah, you don't see it as much.
Most of the people.
Comedy is primarily male dominated.
Right.
You know, and it's not that there aren't hilarious female comedians. It's just that there's not that many of them that actually do comedy.
and I don't know why. I mean, there's probably some, like, reason in our society, maybe.
I think it's psychological. Like,
yeah,
you know, females don't want to put themselves out there as much.
Yeah.
They don't want to make themselves as vulnerable. But honestly, like, for me, the moment that I emotionally decided that I didn't care whether or not I was trying to be funny, I was just trying to put out a good scene and be a good improver. And that's what I tried to do, and that I was going to hold fast to the fact that I'm the straight man, and that it's okay if they are clowns around me, because I'm going to make it make sense. And not that it's some great feat or anything like that. Like, we all play the straight man and we all play the clowns. Like, we all rotate that role often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's what it's my comfort zone. And I know that is, I guess, not lazy, but it's where I feel comfortable. And
yeah,
so
yeah,
that's what I hold on to. And it makes me feel so happy when people come up to me after the show and say, like, we love watching you on stage, and we enjoy that you aren't fazed by them and that you just keep going and that you're still funny and that you still hold your own up there. Right. And that to me, I mean, to me, it's even better than when they'd be like, oh, you're funny. But like they say like, yeah, we see that you hold your own and that they don't faze you. And so that makes me proud to know that I'm doing something right, I guess, in my little world.
Yay.
Yeah. So, but I do enjoy it. I do.
Really keeping the glue of the scene together, like the story or where it's going. Like that's really more where the focus should be if you look at more pure improv.
Right.
Like it shouldn't be necessarily about the who's funny or what, you know, the shock value of the joke. It should be the funniness should come from the actual situation.
The situation and itself.
How the characters are,
yeah,
you know, the reacting to what's going on.
The unfolding of the story.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong though. I mean, you gotta have thick skin to do this. Like, to be a girl in this kind of comedy and in improv, you have to have thick skin, because I think that if I was insecure or if I was a different person, I wouldn't be able to hang. Like, because my first year with Schmimprov was hard.
Oh,
it really was.
Yeah.
Because you guys weren't used to playing with a girl. It had been a while since you played with a girl on a regular basis. And I think that a lot of...
It's been a long time since I played with a girl.
Oh, Nikki. Your time will come.
We're all in Nick's bed, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But I think that insecurity of like, oh, I want to make sure the audience laughs at me. And so like the guys would be like, oh, you know, cocksucker, blah, blah, blah. Ha ha. I'm going to get a laugh. You know, I mean, you know this, like I've told you this
Absolutely.
Before. The like one of the first times I was on stage with somebody on Schmimprov, not necessarily my first show or whatever, but I will never forget, like the first words out of their mouth to me were, she's a cunt. And it was literally like, I
sounds like one of our Schmimprovers.
Like, yeah, it was the top of the show. It was
Welcome to the team. You're
Woo!
A cunt.
Yeah, like these people don't even know me, and now you're insulting me in the scene. Like, not to say that it was just a scene, and that person really wasn't calling you that. Well, yeah, I realized that, but you just labeled my character as such, so now I have to defend this, and now it's okay to insult me on stage, and so. But now it's great. Now I don't feel that way at all. Now I feel like we are a family and we all have a part to play and we all have these characters that we embrace and that these personified characters of ourselves are out there. And like how we were saying, like Enrique is this total ridiculous character on stage because
I'm the sprinkles lady.
Like he's Enrique off stage too, but he's a more personified version of himself on stage. I feel like we all do that. And now, you know, we all have these characters to play and it's fun. You know, it's not intimidating anymore. And I don't feel like I have to prove myself anymore. Now I'm there to have a good time. And I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You've embraced your role.
I have. I've embraced my role, and I don't care.
Even up until recently, I used to be so intimidated, and I feel like I've lost some of that, which is great.
Yeah.
Just by thinking that the audience is there to see you, and they're there to laugh at you and with you. You know, you got to look at them more like friends. Not, like, I used to be kind of afraid of the audience.
Right.
And, like, I remember sometimes when I would bomb, like, I'd say something and it'd bomb, and someone would be like, what? Like, you know, our audience.
Right.
Loves that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear them react like the second something happens. And that fucks with you.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? And so, like, you got to let that go.
Uh-huh.
You got to find a way to let that go and just be like, you know, these people are here to laugh and enjoy themselves.
They are. And, you know, I love it when they see you, like, when they're standing in line and you're walking up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I love it when you play. And you're like, yay. They are here because they are supporting us. Not just, oh, I'm here to see a comedy show. But I feel like our audience likes us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we like them, too. Except Dickhead. I hate that guy.
Oh, that's funny.
Probably listening to this.
I hope so.
Maybe. I don't know. He's never said anything about Schmimcast, so I doubt it.
He left a comment tonight.
Did he?
Yeah.
Like, for a question?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, let's go to that. So,
he's definitely listened to this trick.
Oh, here, I think I've got it.
Apparently somebody I went to college with got a Golden Globe nomination.
Shut up, nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. How did she get one for me? God damn it. She didn't play The Hobbit.
I don't know.
What's his full name?
I don't care.
Social security number?
I don't care about his name at all, but
Internet
somebody
password.
Wrote, what do you think about Dick Kid?
Really?
Oh, that's hang funny. On, hang on.
And so that's really? What I think about Dick Kid.
Yeah, there you go.
He's always really nice to me.
Oh, he's very sweet.
He, like, hugs me.
And actually, I think I actually don't really know which one he is.
Rubs me in the back. That's funny.
I get him confused with one other of those, that group that sits in the front row. There's two of them that I feel like look similar, but I don't know which one is which.
All right, so we have our first question. This comes from an anonymous person named Curtis Anderson. Was Gabe aware of your drinking before you two got married? Now, as you know, if you've listened to Schmimcast before, Curtis and I have talked extensively about
Amber's
drinking problem.
Okay, first of all, I need to set the record straight. I am not an alcoholic at all. I am not a functioning alcoholic. I'm not a weekend alcoholic. I'm not a binger. Curtis Anderson, however, may have a drinking problem.
Oh.
No, I don't know about that. But he is a liar. He's just jealous that I drunk his friend under the table and made his friend look stupid that one night. And I do have a higher tolerance than most people that are my size. But that doesn't mean I'm an alcoholic.
It's just meant that you're built well.
I'm built well.
That's right.
I'm built like a stiff drink.
Is that Shrek?
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
Sorry. I was like, what? Ball tidy. I was like, what is ball?
I said small but mighty.
She's bald and tidy.
Small but mighty.
Amber's not bald. Gabe's bald.
But my husband is.
Oh, but he's adorable.
No, he doesn't. I mean,
he's not adorable.
No, he is adorable. No, he loves how much I drink alcohol, and I don't drink that much. I think that I have a very healthy... I think I have a very healthy relationship with alcohol. I grew up in one of those houses that, like, it was always a good thing to drink. And I don't mean that, like you had a glass of wine with dinner, and, like, my dad would have, like, my dad likes his, like, fancy whiskeys and, like, Gentleman Jack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that he would have, like, a little glass of Gentleman Jack after dinner. And so, like, alcohol has never been a bad thing to me. So I have a very healthy respect for alcohol.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Curtis Anderson, you just need to get over yourself.
Curtis Anderson, you a bitch. You better shut your trap.
No, but Curtis Anderson and I have had many a fun party in our day.
I bet you have.
We have. We've had some good parties when I was in college and he was not in college. Because he's old.
When he was a celebrity?
When he was a celebrity, yeah. Wow. That was, well, I guess it was, that was after his celebrity.
Even after? Term. Wow.
No, well, that's what I'm saying.
How been a celebrity?
I don't know. When did that show
go off? You're so, like, fucking...
When did that show go off the air?
Roasting him right now.
2001? 2002? No. How long did that show... I could be totally wrong.
I don't know, because I don't really know. I don't know.
I watched it. I loved that show.
I know, a lot of... Like, I think it was very popular with females.
It was. It was a good show.
Because I never heard any of my guy friends talking about that show. But I remember, I was like, a show, and then there's a cat that talks, and there's a witch, and...
I think I watched...
No. You're
the... Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah, there's a cat that talked.
Yeah. No, you're right. Salem. You're right. No, you're totally right.
She had too much drink already.
I may have drank too much already.
But I will say that I offered her, I had gin in my cupboard, and I was like, do you want to have an alcohol? She's like, no, I'm fine.
I did not take...
But she was like, I don't like gin, dumb shit. Schmimcast! This comes from Schmimprov Idol alumni. Ryan Young asks... We all love Ryan Young.
I do love Ryan Young.
If you had to carry the illegitimate bastard of one of the males of in Schmimprov to term and then raise it as your own, my God, this is a big commitment.
I know.
It's not just have their baby, but it's like raise their baby. Who would it be and what would you name it?
Good God. I... Such a bizarre question.
It really is.
Whose baby would I want to carry and have? Good Lord.
Does that mean she raises it with Gabe?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, then that's fine. I could raise anybody's
as long
baby.
As you don't have to deal with...
As long as I don't have to deal with any of them. I guess... Okay, now, this is for strictly international purposes. I would totally... have AJ's baby, so then the kid could have a British, you could have dual citizenship, because his father would be an English national.
Good answer.
Yeah, hell yeah, that is.
And what would you name it?
Oh, I don't know, PJ.
PJ?
I don't know. Something really Bridget, like I would call him like Liam or something.
Like PJ, short for Peter Jackrabbit?
Peter Jackrabbit?
This is my son, Peter
this
Jack.
This is my
Rabbit.
Son, Peter Jack, and he has a British accent just like his daddy. I'm Peter Jackrabbit. And my daddy is Gabriel, but my real daddy is Alistair James.
And my mom's an alcoholic.
And my mummy.
She makes good enchiladas.
She makes damn good enchiladas.
She's a monkey.
I am a monkey. Maybe we should explain that so people who don't really know me that well.
Please do. They were like, what?
Yeah, I really am a monkey. So I work for Paul Frank, the clothing line. And we make awesome... I don't make them. They make kids' clothes and...
You don't make them?
I don't make them.
Oh,
I'm
so disappointed.
I think I do special events for Paul Frank, and I play Julius the monkey. And it's the coolest part-time job in the world.
Pretty sweet.
It is. It's very sweet. I've flown all over the world to do special events for Paul Frank.
It sounds like a really fun job.
It is a fun job. It's not as much fun as Imagination Machine, but it is a fun job.
Yeah.
It's really fun to get to travel for work. And then it's really fun to get free clothes. It's not so much fun to, you know, have break rooms and back attics and, you know, have to change into monkey suits in a...
Back attics?
Yeah, like back rooms and weird attics and, like, weird basements and stuff.
What is that? What,
like, you know, because special events happen, like, anywhere. Like, we'll do, like, runway shows down in the little place. There's a place in New York called Dumbo, which is underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. And we do this runway show. We used to do a runway show there. And I literally had to break in the lobby of a bank. No joke.
You had to break into a bank?
Yeah, no, I had to. Sorry.
Illegal.
I had to get my costume on.
Get us money, monkey.
Inside a bank lobby. Like, I was inside, like, a Washington Mutual when they still had those. And I was getting on a costume, like, in a bank, which is the weirdest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre. In front of people. In front of people. Yeah. Ugh.
So weird.
Anyway, so that's not as glamorous, but it's really fun. Like, I've gone to Thailand, and I've been to New York more times than I could count, which is awesome.
Wow.
And it's really cool. Like, it's a really cool part-time job. I don't travel quite as much with them, but, like, I've got an event this coming weekend with them.
Nice.
At South Coast Plaza.
Yay!
They have a store in South Coast Plaza.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's really cool. It's fancy style.
That is fancy.
By the time this airs, it will already have happened, so I won't tell people about it on this show.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm really busy this month.
Yeah, because you're doing Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah, yeah.
You have, like, an important job to do, being Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's a fun show. I wanted to play Momar, but I guess it all got filled up.
We already have four. So
I know. That's why I felt like, it's good. I don't need to play it anymore. There are plenty of people that are filling that role.
So many people play it, but nobody wants it.
It is a very, very tiny role, so I think that's why.
It's a big commitment to put on green makeup every weekend.
To put on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, because you did it, right?
I haven't done it.
Someday.
Oh, they're gonna get you. They're gonna get you,
girl.
You're there every weekend. You're gonna do it.
Now, Shrek, are you okay? Like, do you need a pillow or something?
Shrek, my back hurt.
Your back hurt. Do you need a, like?
No, I'm fine.
Are you
lean up against the bed?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Right, I just want to make sure you're comfy because I didn't bring a chair for you, and I feel bad now.
You feel bad so often. You felt bad three times tonight.
I'm a guilty person. I was raised Catholic.
Me too.
There's a lot of guilt.
We got so much guilt, Shrek.
That's right.
I was not raised Catholic.
You were raised as a baby Jesus in the prostitute.
I was Jesus McShrek.
Oh, Jesus.
You were the prostitute.
Jesus.
Is that what you said?
What on earth are you guys talking about?
I thought you said you were the prostitute. I was like, wait. You were married?
There's no prostitute You guys are offending me. Oh my God.
I said.
Jesus is offended by your lack of knowledge. His mother was not a prostitute.
Amber, do you know what I said?
No.
I'm just bad at this. I said.
You'll get better. This is your first time.
I said Amber was raised as baby Jesus in the Protestant church because we were talking about how she played baby Jesus every Christmas.
I didn't play
yes,
baby Jesus.
Yes, you did, Amber.
You was raised in the prostitute church. Oh, my Lord.
As the baby Jesus. They raised me up to be baby Jesus.
Jesus Shrek.
Someday you're going to be a baby.
Whoa.
What is happening, Nikki?
I don't know.
This is all your fault.
I've officially lost it. Like, I literally lost it. Let's get back. Let's get back on the right track.
Schmimcast.
This is a good one. Our friend Scotty Kista asks, what's the worst thing you've ever said? Word for word. Ooh.
How is that a good question?
Worst thing ever in life?
Well, I mean, if you...
How is that a good question? That's such a bullshit question. That's like saying, like, what's the worst thing you've ever thought about? Like, what? How am I supposed to answer that? I don't know. He's probably heard me say every horrible thing I've ever said on stage.
Is this on stage or in life?
No, because I don't say horrible things in life.
You've there's got to be something you've said that you regret.
I don't know. I guess.
It's like, all, you know, this could be a very deeply, like, if you could really answer that question, like, you could, because, I mean, I could answer that,
yeah.
But I have to think about it for a while. Think about,
yeah.
Like, what's the worst thing I've ever said to somebody?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I'd, yeah. Gosh, I don't, I know that I've said things that I'd like to, that I definitely regret.
I told a girl one night that I was like, you look like you just woke up. And she was so offended.
Oh, no.
She was so pissed off and offended. I was like, I guess she didn't think that she had just woke up.
That's so funny. Wow. You know what?
Did
honestly.
Did you say it like that, though? Did you say, you look like you just woke up? Because I thought you said it right now. I wouldn't be offended, but I would think that you were weird for speaking like that.
I kind of said it jokingly. Like, I was trying to be joking, but it didn't come off that way. Or she just was drunk and, like, didn't want to take it.
Maybe she just woke up.
No.
She was grumpy.
No, she was drunk.
Oh, she was offended because he insulted her.
Yeah, I definitely insulted her.
No, I don't know. My husband would probably be able to tell you way more than I would.
Oh.
I have a feeling that, like, because I'm the kind of person that says things that are really bitchy sometimes. Like, I told him a story about something I did the other day. And I'm not going to tell it right now.
Oh.
But I told him the story. I was like, yeah. And then I did this. And he was like, did you really do that? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he was like, God, you're such a bitch sometimes. Oh. And I was like, wait, what? Was that really that bad? And he was like, yes. So I feel like I do things and I'm being honest about them and I don't realize it. But honestly, though, I'm not a mean person. I just do stuff.
Definitely not.
I do stuff that is a little bit jerky, though, sometimes. Sometimes I can be a jerk. There are a handful of people in this world that I don't like and that I have a very low tolerance
right,
for.
Right.
And so when I am in a situation with them, I censor myself a lot less.
Right, right.
And so I can't think of... I know. I'm sorry, Scotty. I can't think of an exact thing. You've literally heard me say all the worst things in the possible world from that stupid comic book that Enrique found in his store.
About...
No, we didn't talk about that
yet.
I've said horrible things
on
stage.
As we mentioned before, like, that's one of those things that we like to see is Amber squirm on stage because she's in an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, so Schmimprov makes up games for me to have to say horrible things like Dirty Pocket Wizard, which is a very funny game, by the way, but it just makes me say horrible things, which is fun, but it's fine. So I guess those are the worst things I've ever said, but I'm sure I've been a horrible person.
But you don't remember them because you're so pure.
No, right. Well, the holiness just washes my brain clean.
I thought you were going to say you don't remember them because you're so drunk.
Shrek, you should chime in more. That's funny.
When I was in college, like, I felt like, I don't know if you guys felt this with live nudes and stuff. Did you guys have a teacher that was kind of like, that oversaw your improv group when you were...
No, we had like a grad student.
Oh, okay.
Sort of ran it.
Yeah. See, like, when I was in college, in our college group, we had like a group of improvers that we performed together and we toured a little bit. It was really fun. But we also had a teacher that oversaw us. And I feel like that really curbed my initial improv on stage because I had like a superior and like an adult figure, almost like a parent figure who was watching us and making sure that, you know, that we were doing things properly and that we'd go over the rules and all that stuff and was an improv teacher. And because of that, I think we always curbed our style so that we weren't so dirty or weren't so gross or vulgar. And I think that that just really sat with me. And so I think that when I'm performing on stage, it just, that's what comes natural. Like, I don't naturally go to the lowest common denominator. I naturally go to politically correct. Like, that's just natural for me. Where other people go to the lowest common denominator when they feel insecure or uncomfortable, I don't. I go the opposite. I play the other side of the coin. So, yeah, I think that that's really where that stems from, that uncomfortableness with the vulgar and disgusting.
Oh, that you have some kind of training.
Yeah, well...
Schmimcast.
What the hell are you talking about?
What do you mean, what the hell am I talking about?
What is Auntie Amber's... such and such boys
that everybody's lived at your house.
That everyone has lived in my house.
Oh, I know, okay. More than you. Sorry.
I don't like this. You were a lot younger than me. God damn it. See, she's already trying to take over.
I'm the producer.
No, you're not the
You said it at the beginning, Sean.
I did not.
He did. I heard him.
Oh, fuck.
That's a fun thing to for Schmimprov silliness is that, you know, so many of the Schmimprovers have lived at my house.
I've never lived in your house.
You haven't. Why but that's because you always lived at Nate's house.
Why was I not invited?
Because you always lived at Nate's house. Nate was that's the true. Other house where all the Schmimprovers lived.
I lived with Nate for many years.
You did. Like, Nate's house was like the Schmimprov house, and then my house was the Schmimprov house.
So, which Schmimprovers have lived with you?
Well, it started with...
Sebastian?
It started with... Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That would be so funny.
It started with...
like, lived in a little doghouse in the backyard.
I do. Hey! I have a doghouse in my backyard.
It's cold back here, but I like it.
Oh my god, that'd be so awesome.
Can you and Gabe weird. Quiet down? It's so loud. When you're doing it.
Yeah, the first one was Jax was the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good old Jax.
Good old Jax.
And then Jamie, when he lived in there with his OC home.
With his OC home?
Yeah, don't you remember when Jamie had, like, he had his LA apartment, and then he was making enough money, so then I was, like, his halfway house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's literally lived with me on the weekends.
On the weekends.
Like, I charged him, like, $200 a month or whatever.
Do you have a room?
Yeah, he had a bedroom. Wow. I mean, he didn't have, like it was my furniture.
You would not let him take a shower, though, right?
Well, I would encourage him to shower. I tried to get him a shower, and then,
He's refused.
And then Patrick lived with me for like 6 months.
Oh, wow. Vaguely remember some of this.
And then Brian Lyman, when he and I were dating, he was at my house a lot. See, like, he lived in my house on the weekends, I'd say. Yeah.
Are there any great stories from that? Or
oh, there's tons of great stories. Oh, okay. Well, are you kidding me?
Tell me a story.
Oh, my favorite story of all is Jamie's story.
Okay.
I'm going to tell Jamie my favorite story about Jamie Shiel.
You know this story, Shrek?
I don't know, Shrek.
I don't know if Rochelle knows it. It's not a bad story. It's fine. So, so Jamie was living at my house. And Jamie, everybody knows that Jamie is a chick magnet for younger women. And we all know that to be true. But he makes friends, like, right and left. Like, he's a very friendly person. Mm-hmm. Well, one night he came home late after Schmimprov, and I was already in bed, and I heard him come home, and then I went in the living room to, like, get some water in the kitchen or whatever, and he was sleeping on the couch, and I was like, what are you doing out here? And he was like, oh, Lindsay's over, and she's sleeping in my room. And I was like, who the hell's Lindsay? All right, whatever. You know, okay, cool. So I went back to bed. And then in the morning, I get up, and I see that Jamie's not in the living room anymore. But the bedroom door's still closed. And I'm like, oh, maybe he decided to make a night of it with this girl, Lindsay. Which is totally unlike Jamie, but whatever. Who knows? Who knows what could have happened?
Exactly.
And so I'm getting ready and doing my stuff in the morning and everything. And I hear Jamie's door open and I hear somebody go into the bathroom. And so I decide to be nosy Amber because I'm also a very nosy person. And I walk past his bedroom and there's no one in the bedroom, but there's a purse sitting by the bed. And I'm like, where's Jamie? I know he didn't go in the bathroom with that girl, like whoever this girl is. I know he didn't go to the bathroom with her. So I'm like, what's going on? And so I text him and I'm like, where the hell are you? And I look out the window, his car's gone. I'm like, what is going on? He texts me back, oh, I went to Magic Mountain with insert random girl name here.
Lindsay? Or a different girl?
A different girl.
Oh, okay.
He left the house and went to Magic Mountain with a different girl. So now I'm thinking in my head, and I know this girl is young. I think she's like 17 or whatever. I don't know. That could be a lie. She may be screaming at me right now.
Does this sound familiar, Shrek?
So I'm like, awesome. Great. I've got this girl, this kid in my bathroom right now. And at the time, I lived with lots of guys. Like, Jamie was not the only guy that I lived with. We also had another roommate named Matt who also had, like, other friends that were always over. There were literally, this particular night, there were literally, like, probably three or four other people sleeping in the house at the time. So I was like, this girl is all by herself. Jamie just left. What the hell am I supposed to do with this kid in my house? So me being Amber, I straight went into mom mode. And I was like, all right, if I was her right now, what would be something that I would want to hear? Like, how am I going to make her not feel uncomfortable? So I knock on the bathroom door and I'm like, hey, Lindsay, I'm about to start to make breakfast. Can I make you something? Like, letting her know it's totally okay that you're in the house. Please don't feel any pressure. I understand that Jamie is a douchebag right now. Let me make you feel better. And this is what I hear from the other side of the bathroom door. Do you know where Jamie is?
Oh, no.
And I was like, he didn't even tell this girl where he was going. He didn't even tell this girl where he was going. And I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. And I literally was like, I don't know. And so I text Jamie again. I'm like, you need to tell her that you left and went to Magic Mountain with another chick, a-hole. And she literally, like, within five seconds, she was out of my house. She would, like, grabbed her purse and was, like, in her car and gone. Like, she was so mortified and embarrassed. And this poor thing... Like, he left this poor girl by herself in a stranger's home. Ugh, he's such an idiot sometimes. I love you, Jamie. I love you. That's my favorite Jamie story. And well,
it's better for her because his beard has AIDS.
It is. So. His beard does have AIDS. I'm certain that it does. No, and I think he dated that girl. For those of you that don't know, Jamie is Rochelle's boyfriend. And she's absolutely mortified right now that I'm telling these stories.
You guys are dating?
Whatever.
Oh my god. Oh no, your boyfriend and girlfriend. Oh my god, Trek.
They're boyfriend and girlfriend.
You should think before you make decisions, Trek.
Hey, that's rude, Trek.
I'm sorry.
I feel like a lot of the Schmimprovers have lived together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, Brian Lyman and Miles used to live together.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jacob Russell Snyder used to live in your garage.
Yep, he did. He did. That he did.
Yeah.
And now some Schmimprovers live together, like Ryan...
Ryan and Jason Booth live together. Yeah. That's got to be a match made in heaven.
I think so.
That's like totally the odd couple right there. I totally do. I think Jason Booth and Ryan Clark living together, that's such the cute odd couple. I think that's hilarious.
It is funny.
And Patrick and Megan live together.
Oh, yeah.
They legally have to, though.
They have sex.
At least they should.
Oh, hopefully.
I'm sure they do.
You would hope so.
They have good-looking people sex.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Like, you can't be that good-looking and live together and not have sex.
And not
together.
Have sex. I'm right? sure they do. I hope so. Yeah, a lot of the Schmimprov. And I think that's because we all get along so well.
Schmimprov! Amber throws the annual, you know, Schmimprov Christmas party every year. Or it's holiday party. Let's be PC. Holiday party.
We do have Drew, so we have to be politically correct. Yeah. We could call it the Hanukkah party. I'm sure everybody would still
then
come.
I wouldn't show up.
Why not? You don't like Hanukkah?
I'm not Jewish.
Oh. My husband wishes he was Jewish.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
He really does. He wishes.
Me and him had like the longest conversation about like why we weren't Jewish. But
he really wishes he was Jewish.
We just
which
both
is funny because
that was really the
Drew, our Schmimprover Drew, and my husband Gabriel are cousins.
Oh, right.
And then, but my husband's side of the family is not Jewish.
Can I just say that your husband seems more Jewish than Drew does?
Yeah, no, because he wants, that makes sense. He probably actually
He's
is
totally
more Jewish,
Jewish
than, he probably is more Jewish than Drew is. Drew's just a textbook Jew. He just wants everybody to think that he's Jew.
I think I have some Jewish blood, actually.
Do you? That's good. You should own that.
I believe so. Yeah.
I'm
somewhere
sure
in a jar.
No,
Schmimcast.
So Nikki, can I ask you a question?
Oh, shit.
Do you feel like, since we've been talking about improving and comedy with women, do you feel like it's harder to improv with females more so than it is with males?
Probably.
Yeah.
For me, at least. I guess it depends. I mean, I feel like the more I know a person, the easier it is for me. Like, I almost have to have that sort of comfortability.
Regardless of their gender?
Yeah. I feel like the more that I've, like, spent time with them or, like, talked to them or done actual improv with them, the better it goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I feel like I've never had a bad show with you and I. Like, I've never felt like you and I... Like, I've never felt like you were the guy that was like, oh, I have to be a big old chauvinist, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've never felt that from you.
Right. Yeah, and I try, I mean, I
probably tried. I assume I probably don't go there when I'm improvising with females anyway.
Because right. That's not your style.
Yeah, probably not. I got a little more respect for women.
That's right,
other
you do.
Guys, I think.
That's right. Nikki's a man.
That's why I get so much poontang. Right?
You just calm down over there.
Yeah, that's right.
You just relax. You're doing just fine.
Yeah. Be honest, I was so happy, and a lot of people were like, oh no, Enrique's on the team, it's gonna all be fart and, you know, poop jokes. But I was like really happy because I was like, oh, I know, I've known Enrique for so many years, and like we've done so many shows together and we're so like comfortable together.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is great. Like, that's always someone, like, I automatically
right.
will just...
Isn't that yeah. funny? Like, how I feel like when we bring in our new people, like, I'm so excited to play with them at the beginning. And this is not a bash on anybody new, because I really have... Even the last few years, like, we brought in some such strong people. It's great.
I'm always let down by them.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, I'm always so excited to start playing with them. And then when I play with them, I'm like... Oh, what's wrong?
Well, you what know, like,
is it? Because well, we don't know yeah. them. We all have such camaraderie, and then
you don't
it takes
have that chemistry.
Yeah, it takes yeah. them a while to like find their niche and
right.
figure out who they are as on the team, and that comfortability with a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm always like, there's always this curve.
It's
of,
like first time having sex.
It's yeah, like oh, what do I do? So, I don't know. That's not true. I'm sure sex with Nikki
I
is
don't
amazing.
I know what I'm doing. What are these for?
Oh,
but it's so true, though. Like, you are in a scene together, and you're trying to make something work, you know? And it's just very interesting how these people are so talented.
See? You're trying to make it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was complimenting your exactly. analogy. Nobody's good at improv for the first time. No, I don't know. Maybe that's not true.
Who knows? There's probably someone who...
I'm sure Nate was good at... I'm sure Nate was good at improv his first time.
I don't know. Did you hear his podcast?
I heard half of it, and then it cut out. I'm going to be honest. I only heard the first half.
That's right.
Because my... no, because I was listening to it in my car on one of my long car drives, and then it stopped, and then I had to... I was one of those things where I would have had to start all over again.
Oh, and what the F?
I didn't want it to...
That's a bummer.
Yeah, so
how
I had
How are you listening to it in the car? I'm just curious.
I feel like I was listening to it from the website.
Oh, direct from the website. Okay, yeah,
so I had it downloaded
sense.
It, and it, like it paused. I think I got a phone call, and then... And then it was like, this is Schmimcast. And I was like, no.
It started
I was like out. Halfway through. And so I didn't want to play the whole thing again. So no, what did he say? Curious.
No. His first attempt at improv was a disaster.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, because he's such a perfectionist. I could see where him.
Well,
like,
I don't think he had any clue what he was doing.
Right.
It's like in high school and he says, I'm going to try doing improv.
Yeah.
And
so funny.
It's pretty funny.
I think all of us, like I'm really thankful that I had my teacher. Kevin Hoggard was his name, and I say it because he was awesome as a teacher. Like, he was so good, he was such a good schmimprov teacher. And but he really taught us so much about what it meant to do improv and like how to, you know, create a scene and the whole thing. And I was so thankful that was like my first experience with improv with that was him. I feel like I had was able to make mistakes in a safe place where I was being taught something, you know, something constructive.
Yeah, that's important because we have very little guidance in improv. And we do have guidance, but it's very heavy-handed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we know instantly if it sucks.
Yeah. It's like Nate shaking his head back and forth. Like, what the fuck was that?
Or shaking you back and forth.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or smacking you on the
smacking ground. You, yeah. Hanging you upside down.
If you're doing a scene.
Physical violence happens a lot in our shows. I've got thick skin and thick skin.
All the time I've been slapped.
Oh, God.
Schmimcast.
Where did you get your inspiration for, you know, being a performer? And,
and
where did that all come from?
I definitely started performing at a young age. Like, I did. My mom put me in shows and mm-hmm. stuff when I was a kid. And
you were an only child, right?
I was an only child, but so, I wasn't raised as an only child. My parents raised me like a village. Like, I just existed in the neighborhood. This is no. There was I was not no. This is honest to God true. I'm the only girl in a family of 9 older boy cousins. I was the only girl in my neighborhood growing up, and so just like surrounded. I was surrounded with boys all the time.
So this
growing
makes
up.
Sense that you're in Schwimmbrow.
Yeah, no, it's totally that. Like, yeah. I feel at home. It's like my family. My family has, we've got two really close family friends that like are my brothers and they're older than me too. And like we all go on family vacations together. And like, so I did not grow up as an only child. Like I think the only time I existed as an only child was the fact that I didn't share a bedroom with anyone else. But like I had hand-me-downs and, but we put on shows as a kid. Like in my neighborhood, we used to put on shows. Like me and all the boys would get together and we had like a box of like a vampire costume and a baseball uniform, and then like I wore my princess dress and like somebody got to be the king and somebody got to be like the evil guy who was trying to steal the princess, and we put on shows in the neighborhood, and it was hilarious.
And how old were you?
Oh, like little, like, oh, the, like 4 year olds. Oh, like, okay. And like, that's all cute. The way up, the first girls didn't move into the neighborhood until I was like 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And so all my formative years were playing with the boys, and yeah, I think that's where I know that's
did
where
did you get all territorial? You're like, this is my turn.
No, I was well, kind of, yeah. Like we definitely had like our, yeah. But at the same time, like I was very grateful when girls moved into the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. But I think that's why I have such a thick skin now. Like that, mm-hmm. why I don't care when people pick on me, because it doesn't. I've been, you know, picked on my whole life, and it didn't because I had lots of boy cousins, and then, you know, like all of us, we were picked on in school and stuff like that, and that's why we do comedy, because right, that's why we all do comedy, right?
Because we get
we got picked on in school. Right?
Problem. That could be. I got picked on.
Yeah, I think I think that that's
a fat kid.
Yeah, like there's some common thread.
It's true.
Through all of us, that right. I think it stems from that. Like something.
I didn't think that that's where it came from for me, but it could be. You're selling. We need to ask everybody now if they were.
I feel like on some level we were all.
Abused as children.
Abused as kids. All of us. On some level. And I was not like my, I love my parents very much and they are wonderful. Right. But I was definitely, I had that, you know, thing where, that I had to overcome and that I had to be okay with. It was probably like junior high school that I was like, you know what? This is no big deal. I'm just going to embrace who I am and you can say whatever you want about me and I don't care. And so, yeah, so I started performing and like, I just got more and more into comedy because I think my cynical side came out.
So more or less you kind of just got into comedy sports or in high school?
We did not do comedy sports. I didn't even know what comedy sports was until I got into improv schmimprov.
Oh, okay.
That's honestly the truth.
Real improv.
We did normal short form improv in college. We were taught normal improv in high school. Right. And I didn't know what comedy sports was. Really don't fully understand what it is.
Like theater or anything like that?
I was in drama in high school. I did all the plays. I did all the musicals. I was in the marching band.
Yay!
Yay! I'm a flute player.
My nephew's in the UCLA marching band.
Hell yeah. Yep. Well, that's not as good as the USC marching band, but that's okay.
Hey. You can eat a dick, goddammit.
Oh, jeez.
We're gonna fight.
Them fine ones.
I'm gonna pull my shirt off and you.
But yeah, but I started doing improv in college
USC
with a group.
Suck a dick.
Oh god, I offended him.
What's so funny is that I really don't give a shit. Like I'm just like, my nephew goes to UCLA, so I like USCLA. I got no other reason whatsoever to be
go suck a dick.
Yeah, you can suck a dick, goddammit. Don't you talk about UCLA like that.
Yeah, but they're very...
You're going to make me cry.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I got off track.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You did bring
up
fighting words.
And I apologized.
You are never invited back.
Oh, jeez. Lord.
What were you saying?
I was not in any college marching band, thank God. Because then people would hate me. and then from college, I went to Second City and I took classes with Second City, and then I auditioned to be in their performance group, their alumni shows, mm-hmm. I guess. And I did one alumni show with them and it was really awesome. And then that was it. And then I started with Imagination Machine in 2002. And that is, it's the best job
it's
in the world.
It's the greatest show on earth.
It really is. Right. And I know that people that work there, like in any job, become jaded about it. But if you step outside and look at what the job is, it's the best job in the world. Like we literally make kids laugh for a living and then encourage children with their creative writing and to keep reading and telling that some second grader that may be struggling with dyslexia, mm-hmm. or maybe they're shy or maybe they're brand new to the school and they turn in a story and we choose their story and then we perform their story up on stage and then they get to come up and hold a certificate, and their class is cheering for them. And then the teacher comes up and says, like, oh, you picked little Johnny's story, and little Johnny has been so shy, and now the whole class, thank you so much for picking his story. And you're like, I have the greatest job in the world. Like, it's so awesome.
That is really cool. That's that's got to be very empowering.
It
for
is.
A child.
It's so empowering for the kids. I mean, these, like, we just talked to a parent today where he was like, my son literally did this project the morning it was due, and you guys picked his story, and now he's like so much more invigorated to write and to be productive and to, you know, like you empowered him to be a smart kid, you know, and it's just really cool. It's just awesome.
Oh, that gave me goosebumps on my back.
Hell yeah, dude. And that's, and now, and now I own the LA chapter of Imagination Machine.
You're the owner?
Yeah. So
Good Lord, I didn't even know that.
Really?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I own the LA chapter of it.
And the producer?
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, for 2 years now I've owned it, and it's growing slowly, but you know, it's
That's awesome.
It's really awesome. And so I'm hoping that, you know, in 5-10 years it'll be a nice chunk of LA County now has Imagination Machine shows and
really cool.
that go to the schools. So I'm very lucky. I perform every day in my life. I couldn't ask for anything more. Somebody asked Gabe and I if we could have any job in the world, what would we be doing? And they were like saying it like, well, you wouldn't be doing what you could what you're doing now. If you could do anything, what would you be doing? Both of us were like, no, this is literally what we would be doing. Like, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I was so surprised that I was so proud to say that. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm doing my dream job.
That's cool.
It is cool.
Great.
I wish I could say that for myself.
But you, sir, you are like, you do all the plays and the musicals,
know,
and you are like the god of, but yeah, that is true. That's true.
It's not my career.
That's true. It's true. But
my hobby, that's like.
Yeah, but maybe if you got paid for it, you wouldn't like it as much.
That's very true. Maybe
so. Because
then
you'd start only going for things that paid more.
Exactly.
And then...
That is true. That is true. I mean, there have been some things I've gotten paid for, you know, very little. Let's not say, you know, like I make buku bucks or something like that.
Buku.
Like $100 or something for doing something. Something like that. Not that I'm complaining. It's nice to have a little extra money here
absolutely,
and there.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying if I could get more, that would be great because then I could pay more bills and then I wouldn't be so poor.
What? You're supposed to do pay those things? Oh my God, I've been doing it all wrong all these years.
I was trying to be sarcastic.
I know.
I guess the point I was trying to make is that the stuff that pays usually isn't like the real like artistic.
No, it's not.
Like, usually. I'm not saying it all the time. There could be stuff that's really cool, that's great, that you get paid for. And
sometimes working for free fulfills us more as performers.
Yeah, yeah. I think in general that is probably more true. The stuff that you really love is the stuff that doesn't pay at all.
And how lucky are all of us though to have a venue that we can perform at a regular on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, and that we're so lucky to, you know, have an improv group that has a house. Like we're the freaking house band for the Maverick. Like how cool is that? You know?
Yeah.
Like it's just cool. Like we're very lucky to
and we're lucky
have that.
We really are thankful to have an audience we have.
We are.
We roast them sometimes, but
they deserve it sometimes. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like
they ask for it.
They love it. They freaking love it. No, they are awesome. We are so lucky. I've got some friends that are improv purists.
Oh, yeah.
And I love these people, but I will say this honestly because I doubt they'll ever listen to this.
They're a bunch of assholes.
They are assholes. And they are.
I was just kidding.
No, no, it's okay. But we do short form improv for college age kids. And yeah, it's fast paced and a little vulgar. And I have friends that I used to do improv with at Second City and when I went to college and stuff like that, who won't come see Shim Improv because it's beneath them. No joke. They won't come see our stupid little show because it's, they're too good for it. They're all into long form. Nothing against long form people, but they're all into long form and the fact that we do short form college-based improv, they don't like it and they think it's beneath them and they, I wouldn't enjoy myself. Why would I go?
Yeah.
And you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, how could you not enjoy a show where it's just fun? Like, that's the best part about what we do is that it's just all in good fun. And once all of us realize that, then everybody's having fun.
So, Shrek, you need to learn that.
Yeah.
It's about fun.
Yeah, Shrek.
I have no fun at Shrimp Improv.
I still don't know why Nikki calls you Shrek. Whatever.
I don't know. We always call each other Shrek.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
Or like, she's Ro Shrek, I'm Nick McShrek.
It started in The Hobbit.
It started in The Hobbit.
He would come downstairs every show and go, oh, come on, Shrek.
I'm like, oh, not again, Shrek. Yeah. Like right before the show, when the audience is all waiting for the show to start.
Oh, that's why I never heard it.
I'd be like,
because I was always up in the booth.
I'd be in the dressing. They'd call us to places. Like everybody, the show would be start. The little dramatic music.
Uh huh.
And I would stay kind of medium loud. Like I wouldn't yell it, so but the audience probably could hear it, but probably wouldn't understand it. But I'd just be like, oh, not again, Shrek.
Yeah. You know?
It's so funny.
It's really funny. It's so funny.
And the cast would just, usually be looking like, why the fuck do you say that?
Mandy noticed it first. I didn't even know until Mandy was like, dude, he always says, oh, come on. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then that, like, you came down right then, and you were like, oh, come on, Shrek.
Oh, come on,
and I was
Shrek.
Like, ah!
That's hilarious. I was just the backstage mom for Hobbit, but I don't think I was in the booth.
Yeah.
I was always in the booth for the act one, and then I was always running around for act two. So, because I couldn't be in the booth for act two.
Were you one of the goblin bitches that one night?
Hell yeah, I was.
That was
one
so
of the
awesome.
Goblin bitches.
I love that.
Hell yeah. That was
awesome.
Closing night.
Closing night. That
we got permission to go on stage.
So awesome. And from my point of view, it was so awesome because I had no idea it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, like, we're in the goblin cave.
Yeah.
And the what is it?
You guys got brought out.
I forget, is it the goblin king?
It was the goblin king. It was Kyle.
Kyle
he played
the goblin
king.
And they just threw in two goblin nets.
No, there's...
Goblinettes.
Three.
There were three.
Leah, Sabrina, and Amber.
Yeah. Three goblinettes. And he had these, like, goblin bitches.
Hell yeah.
It was so awesome. I was like, that's so cool.
It was so cool. I remember Sabrina and Leah had asked Nate weeks before this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do it. Can I do it? I want to do it. And so I asked Leah first, I think. I was like, Leah, could I do the goblin thing when you guys do it? And she was like, ah, of course. Like, yeah, of course. And then so I asked Nate, I was like, Nate, did they ask you if they could get in goblin makeup and for closing night? And he was like, I don't know. Which is such a Nate thing to say, and that means yes. And I was like, well, if they do, can I do it too, or will that be too many people on stage? And he was like, well, it's fine. And I was like, which also means yes in Nate's language. And I was like, so excited. So I didn't want to be like too excited because they're a lot younger than me and way hotter than me. And so I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna be all sexy and stuff. Like, I was secretly so excited though. Like, I was like, yeah, I guess I'll do it too. Like, I guess, like, whatever. And I was like, I get to go in goblin makeup and be a sexy goblin girl. But then this is the funniest part. So it was like super sexy Sabrina and then like super sexy Leah and voluptuous Leah. And then everybody was like, who's that third goblin? No joke. Kalinda filmed it, put it up on YouTube, and literally was like, I don't know who that third goblin was. And I was like, Kalinda, it's me. And she was like, wait, that was Amber? So good job for Sabrina on goblin makeup for making me look like a sexy goblin girl because nobody recognized me. Yay.
I think it was also the hair, though.
But that's the thing.
You
like,
were
nobody.
In a wig.
Well, I did wear a wig because I certainly don't have goblin hair.
Yeah.
I have little pixie hair.
Well, it was like a jet black.
Yeah, I've got my jet black wig, the one that I wore for Wonder Woman for the calendar.
The Shmimprov calendar.
Hell yeah. Buy your Shmimprov calendar
if they're
now.
They're not already sold out yet.
I don't think they are. I think there's still some left.
Maybe by the time this podcast
hopefully
goes
by the time this podcast comes out. But if by the time this podcast comes out and you still want a Shmimprov calendar out there in internet world, go to improvshmimprov.com and order a calendar for yourself.
Can you order it on the website?
No, just email Nate.
You got to talk to Nate.
I don't know how to do that.
You got to talk to Nate.
I don't know how to email Nate politically.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious calendar.
Funny. They're pretty funny.
We're giving one to my brother-in-law for Christmas.
Aww.
That's really funny.
Which is hilarious because I still sometimes think that he forgets that I'm actually in Shmimprov.
That's really funny.
But he loves Shmimprov.
Oh, really?
But I think that he's going to listen to this and he's going to be really embarrassed. I think that he forgets that I'm in the show sometimes, so giving him a calendar with me as 1 month is going to be hilarious. He's going to turn to it and be like, oh yeah, Amber's in this.
Also seeing you on the cover with no clothes
on.
Oh, are you on the? You are on the cover, huh?
Oh God!
How did they get you to do that?
Well, because I hung around for too long. That was the problem. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and all of a sudden, Austin was like, "I almost called him Sebastian. That was weird."
Sebastian.
Sebastian. That was really strange. No, all of a sudden Austin was like, I have this really good idea. And Drew was like, yeah, we have to go buy rose petals. And I was like, okay, I have nothing to do. And see, the bad thing was my husband was out of town for the weekend, so I was really bored. And
I'm
like,
I'm gonna have an orgy with the Schmimprovers.
Oh God. I called him on my way home and I was like, you were never gonna guess what I just did. And he was like, what happened? I was like, I can't even explain it to you, but all I can tell you is I'm not sexually attracted to any of these men. That is what I have to tell you.
They all have really small penises.
Oh, thank God. I don't know. Thank
did they get
God.
Totally naked?
No! Nobody got totally naked. Okay, no one got naked.
I'm just asking.
They did take off their shirts. And I did have I did have an undergarment on. No, but it was.
Amber said undergarment.
I did say undergarment.
Amber said undergarment.
It's dirty.
It's dirty.
No, this whole day was ridiculous. You were laying on a Yeti skinned rug.
That's really funny.
In a Santa Claus
outfit. Drew was on the bar hogtied, half naked. Nate tied him up while Drew was half naked.
Yeah, that was weird.
On the bar. So many weird things happened that day.
That wasn't the first time that it happened.
Probably not. So many weird things happened. And then we were buying rose petals. Like, okay, let's go buy rose petals. And then the lady at the store, we went to Marshall's or Michael's around the corner. Yeah. And we were buying these rose petals. And Drew and I are in line. Like, and I've got my hat on because I just had the wig on. And I've got this crazy makeup because I had just done the Wonder Woman photo shoot. The lady was like, planning a romantic night.
Oh, that's really funny.
No joke. She actually said that to Drew, and Drew and I were like, no. And so I was honest and I was like, oh no, we're just getting them to do a photo shoot for some friends of ours. And he goes, yeah, for a friend's wedding. And I was like, do we really need to lie about this? I don't feel like we're doing anything wrong here. But really, she was like, are you planning a romantic evening? And we were like, ew, that's so disgusting. And not to mention ew. Because then what happened was the most disgusting thing I've ever been a part of in my entire life. Because then Sebastian was like, all right, everybody, take off your shirt.
Sebastian!
Oh, I did it again! That's so weird. Why do I keep doing that?
Take off your clothes! I want to see you naked!
You know what's funny is Sebastian wanted to be a part of the photo shoot. He wanted to dress up like Waldo. No, he wanted to dress up like Waldo and be in the background of all of the photo shoots.
Dress up like Michael Jackson.
So maybe that's why I keep thinking of him randomly for that day, because
so
he was in our hearts and not really there. So Austin was like on this giant ladder dropping rose petals on us, and we all had our shirts off. I had undergarments on though.
So dirty.
And like everybody's like Hannah was there and Cassie was there. Like all the Schmimprovers girlfriends were there watching us lying together half naked, getting rose petals dropped on us. It was just the most ridiculous, gross, homoerotic thing ever. It was so gross.
It was Nate's idea. No, it wasn't Nate's.
It was
Sebastian's idea.
It was Sebastian's. it was Austin's idea. Yeah, yeah. And
it's funny,
it's hilarious. Yeah. And I literally came home and told my husband, and I was like, Gabe, I'm not joking you. This is the grossest thing I've ever done in my life. And he was like, am I going to be weirded out and offended? Like, and I was like, no, because it's the Schmimprovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're going to laugh and I'm going to be grossed out. And that's exactly what happened. He thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world. But then I guess like one of the Schmimprovers' hand is like over my boob. But it's like his hand is facing upwards. So it's not like he's like grabbing me or anything. It's the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And he was like, whose hand is that? And I was like, I think it's Drew's. And he was like, all right, that's okay.
That's right. He's like my cousin.
That's right.
It's cool.
He's gay.
And he's gay.
Half the time.
Sometimes.
Oh, jeez.
So confusing.
Sometimes he's gay. I think he's gay today. But I don't know. Yeah,
that look in his eye. Schmimcast. Do you have anything to promote? Always ask everybody.
If you're listening to this podcast and you have a child at an elementary school in LA County, you should book Imagination Machine.
Go to
theimaginationmachine.com for all your information.
And we should add that the Imagination Machine is not Schmimprov. It's for children. It is
a great children's show. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, we take stories written by school children. The students write the stories and then the school submits them, and we pick stories and perform it in a 45-minute assembly. And then the child gets to come up on stage, or the children get to come up on stage, and they get a certificate of writing achievement. We recognize them as the playwright of the show. It's a wonderful program. It really is. And I'm very proud to be a part of it. And that's how I've met so many of our Schmimprovers. Like, like, it's now become like the second job to, or the main job to, a lot of the Schmimprovers. I mean, it's Nate and I and Drew and Lindsay and Jason Booth. Am I leaving anybody out? I think that's it. But that's five of us that are a part of it. And Donish and Jamie have both auditioned for it.
But they didn't get in.
But that but that was not to say that they weren't.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's fine. Jamie, I didn't hire Jamie because he's Jamie.
Well, because of that one thing he did to that one girl.
No, it's because his aide. His aide.
His aide has a beard.
His aide has a beard. And it's named Jamie's Beard.
It's so funny that, yeah, it's because his beard has AIDS. That's why. But
we don't want the children's getting AIDS.
You know what's really funny is a couple years ago.
It's a bearded man. Let me touch the beard.
No, it has AIDS.
It has AIDS. Get away.
A couple years ago when you guys were all doing Treasure Island, Nate was growing out his beard for Treasure Island.
What there is of it, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he grew out this, like, gross, disgusting, poor excuse for a beard.
Yeah.
But then we perform for children. Like, many times we play children in a lot of these stories.
That's really funny.
And so he's playing a child, like, hi, my name's Billy, and I'm in the second grade. And he's got, like, pubes on his face. And he, okay, so the worst thing, we have this fright mask that we keep in the set in our prop box. And we bring it out, because kids write scary stories and stuff, too. So he puts it on for the scary stories. But he would pull his beard hair through the mouth of this thing. No joke, grossest thing in the world. So disgusting. So having a beard, maybe having AIDS beard wouldn't be so bad. It's totally fine to have AIDS beard.
Can I just say, I don't think Jamie's beard has AIDS.
Yeah, whatever.
How would you know?
You're supposed to say that.
That's right. You're just trying to be a good girlfriend.
See, I guess that's all I have to promote.
That's it?
I don't have anything else going on. Buy Paul Frank clothing and want Paul Frank to do Julius events.
Fine.
Schmimcast.
Yeah, you can subscribe to Schmimcast on iTunes. So please do that if you haven't done that already. And please listen to all the episodes. And please give us all your money. No, that would be cool, though. Yeah, please give Curtis Anderson all your money because he needs it, apparently.
Nikki,
he doesn't have a real job.
Curtis Anderson definitely needs your money.
Does he?
Yeah, so he can produce the scary movies.
Scary movies? It's not called Cheerleaders Must Die.
It's
anymore.
Not.
What's it called now?
It's called Give Curtis Anderson Your Money.
Really?
It's called something with cheerleaders. I don't know what it is called, though. Yeah,
they changed the name for some reason, I guess.
It's not called Cheerleaders Must Die, though.
Yep, but you should just, everyone should just give us all our money, and then we'll be the 1%. I believe if all goes well, then we're doing The Hobbit after that. So,
yes.
Again,
and that includes all of us.
That
Yay!
Does include all of us. Rochelle played Thussles, the bird, in The Hobbit.
And I sang. I have a little number.
That's right. And you sang the song about the Mountain King.
The villager.
Do you remember the song?
Yeah.
Sing it right now, please.
I'm not a very good singer.
It's okay. I think it's going to be cute. Please sing the Mountain King song.
Okay.
Do it.
I'm also really tired. All right.
That's better.
The king beneath the mountain, the king of carven stone. His wealth shall flow in fountains, and the river's golden run. The stream shall run in gladness, the light shall shine in first. All sorrow faileth in sadness at the mountain king's return.
That was
not really.
Cheered.
So that was so good.
And then all six of them clapped for themselves.
We did.
They all clapped for themselves. And then they all handed out flowers awkwardly to the hobbit, to the dwarves and hobbit.
Yep.
That was one of my favorite moments.
It was. Yay.
I'm so good at
now
that.
Now everybody's going to want to come see it.
Yeah. That's just a preview of what you will hear
so
from
gold.
My voice.
That's
so
a trailer.
Gold.
That's a trailer. And then a few minutes later,
oh no, Gandalf, it's a dragon!
And then, I don't know, how are we
We're
doing
so promoting the show, like, so well, right? Like, everyone doesn't want to see it.
Oh, I heard a rumor, but I don't know if I can say it yet.
Okay, well, we don't know how
I
want to
hear it. I'll cut it out. If it's right.
I heard that the spider's going to be on
Oh, yeah.
No, it's going to be a stilt walker.
The spider's going to be people.
Yeah, the spider's going to be a stilt walker. And that Smog is completely being revamped. Cut this out. This was my conversation with Mike Keeney.
That's fine.
And God only knows what he says is true. Yeah. I don't know.
And he's always angry. So we'll see The Hobbit.
It's going to be wonderful.
Maverick Theater.
Will you have anything to promote, Roche Shrek?
Well, I'll promote Jamie's AIDS-less beard. It's very nice.
It's shaved, though, now. Or is he growing it back?
It's shaved.
He shaved his beard?
Yeah.
For Santa Claus.
Oh, right. Duh.
Traveling.
Is it coming back?
Eventually.
It always comes back.
It's so gigantic. It's scary. It's so scary.
It's very well groomed.
I have nightmares about Jamie's beard. I'm telling you. Homeless people smoke crack inside of Jamie's beard. Like, seriously.
You know.
Like, I got stabbed in Jamie's beard once. I literally got stabbed in there.
Me and you, we should go hang out in Jamie's beard.
We should.
I'll give you a tour. It's really nice.
I lost my virginity in Jamie's beard.
Yay! Good night, folks.
That's awkward.
It's really awkward. We can't end it like that.
You should appreciate the sound and lights booth when you go to Shmimprov.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, this music rocks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, none of you heard, but in the last
time that we tried, you were absolutely right.
Well, the last time we tried to do this, the 30 minutes that Nick messed up, Amber was like, it's not a competition.
No, it's not about the applause meter.
But we won. You come to the show, okay? This time, vote for Shmimprov, goddammit, because we need to win at least once.
We've won once.
But we haven't won since.
Unjust.
Yes, that's
it's
true.
Not right. It's totally it's true. The puppets are very funny. They're very adorable. They're entertaining.
They're entertaining.
I'm just saying, vote for Shmimprov. We got to win at least once.
We have legs.
I think you should vote for APP.
Shut the fuck up, Shrek.
I'm the producer.
You shut your yap, Shrek. You not coming back. Shmimcast. All right, well, that is Shmimcast. Thank you so much, Amber.
Yay!
It was so much fun. I'm sorry I didn't have clips of your doing improv, but we'll do that sometime in the future.
We'll get them.
I
don't have them. I'm sure all of our techie friends know how to do that.
We got Trekkie friends?
Techie.
Oh, techie friends.
And prostitutes!
Yeah, oh, my God.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Talk to you next time, folks.
Bye.
Bye!
Bloop. Thank you for listening to Shmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Shmimcast, please visit www.shmimcast.com. You can email us at shmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Shmimcast. It's SHMIMCAST. That's twitter.com/Shmimcast. And now,
I wanna fuck you in the ass.
I'm two names above Penis McGee.
So I have a very healthy respect for alcohol.
You can hear the flame from Justin's asshole.
Cheerio.
Yeah.
This is Amber Robbins.
Whoa.
No, that sounds horrible. Don't play that.
Wait. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
No, I'm not. I'm serious, though.
Good.
But I was
Bless
raised.
Bless you.
This is Shmimcast.com. Shmimcast.
Bless you.